Did you listen to the Paramore cover of Burning Down the House that I sent you?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. Like, it's good. Pretty fucking all right.
It's good.
Yes.
I knew it was going to be good. There was a lot of, like, worry for me because Paramore had been on this big tour.
Sure.
And Mother Haley was just, like, really serving on that tour.
Yeah.
And their new album was really good, and there's, like, a bunch of other stuff and all the good stuff. And that was the last, like, album and tour they had they needed contractually on the current, like, on their label.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the removal of everything after, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of their social media got clear. They cleared out all their social media. They talked about how, like, they weren't sure what was going on. There's, like, we're excited to continue making music together, but we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. And it was, like, very scary.
Yeah.
And then Paramore releases this cover of Burning Down the House, and in theory it looks like it's going to be like several songs.
Yeah. I couldn't find if it's just Paramore or if it's several other bands that are covering the Talking Heads. Like it's a cover album of a Talking Heads film, and it's interesting to me from the outside, knowing not a lot about Talking Heads save for a few songs, but it seems like all of those guys fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that's I saw today season was like they rejected the $80 million to Coachella from Live Nation because just fuck all these other guys.
Right. I don't know. It's weird. But whatever. Fucking. I'm excited to see. I do because I, as cool as it would be to hear like a bunch of other like artists that are like Paramore contemporaries.
Yeah.
Sing Talking Head covers. I think that'd be very cool. But at the same time, I really want to hear Hayley Williams sing Psycho Killer.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm torn. I'm of two minds of it.
I understand on this podcast, I can be titled as the labeled and known Paramore not fan, but there's a lot to admire in Hayley Williams' voice. There truly is.
Listen, hey, there's a lot to admire in Hayley Williams. Hey, am I right? She's mother. She serves. Yes. She is queen.
Yes. Yeah, I should maybe one day I'll grow up and give a fair shake. Who knows?
I have a big crush on Hayley Williams, both as a man and as a queer person.
Sure.
And those are two very different crushes.
I think. Those are two different entities.
Yeah. Anyway. The other thing too is did you listen to the Jariah
songs
that I sent you?
So I'm maybe had too much going on at work to where when I listened to that song, I was like, there's a lot fucking going on in this song. And a lot going on in the physical realm that I embody.
I am overwhelmed. And like, I don't like.
Yes, like that was pure sensory overload. Oh, yeah. To the core. Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of like Jariah's whole vibe. Is like there's too much going on. And it fucking rocks.
Sure.
Like he has a song called Risk, Risk, Risk. Which I think I also share with you. It's very good. Risk, Risk, Risk is very good.
I'll have to look. Yeah.
But a few days ago, as we're recording, I think January 26th is when he dropped it officially. But he dropped a single called Pin Eye, PIN-EYE, and it is two songs: Collarbone and Pin Eye. Collarbone is 50 seconds, and it is an intro track to Pin Eye. So it is recommended to listen to them together.
All right.
But, oh, man. Collarbone, first, it's like a slow, it's piano, so good. Pin Eye is like
chaos.
Pin Eye, chaos. But like in a good, so the first time I ever heard Risk, 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 it was on a TikTok of people suggesting songs that you should listen to if you like, drumroll please, Panic at the Disco.
Interesting.
And I think the vibes are very different as far as like musicality, but as far as like putting everything into it and like the way that it kind of shifts, it is very like, it does feel like it holds like the spirit of Fever in its heart.
Yeah.
Because Pin Eye is like one of those songs where like it starts off one way and then it slows down and then it goes into a different thing. And it feels like the song has arcs to it.
Right.
It's like 4.5 minutes. Like, it's just a really good song and it's just so much going on. So I would be curious if people would go and listen to Jiraiya and how they feel about, like, not that it sounds like Panic, Risk, especially.
Sure.
Collarbone Pin Eye is a good thing to listen to as well. But Risk, especially if you go and listen to Jiraiya, not that it sounds like Panic, but I feel like it carries the spirit of Fever.
Yeah.
He does carry the spirit of Fever. Right. So if you look up J-H-A-R-I-A-H, Jiraiya, very good. Very good young black talent, which we should be. I am of the very, 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 very strenuous opinion that black people and people of color doing alternative music should be celebrated and supported, because it is such an uncommon thing. And because of this whole dichotomy about, like, you are not black if you like this kind of music. When I was growing up, I got accused of being a fake black person, not black enough, blah, blah, blah.
Man.
Because of the type of music that I listened to, because the type of stuff I liked, because I was a nerd, because of all this stuff, and I didn't, like, conform to, like, the ideals of blackness. I got made fun of for not being black enough because of the stuff that I liked. And I don't think that black means anything.
Except sure.
For the fact that is what I am. And so this got real, like, deep. I was not intending it to, but it's worth fucking saying. Black is just what I am. And, like, and I'm saying this, like, on behalf of, like, Jiraiya too, like, black is what he is. And this is the type of music he likes to make and the type of music that he wants to make. And so I think that should be supported. I remember my cousin telling me a couple weeks ago, she was just like, I was there, but she was telling my wife, she was like, my wife, like, I listen to so much, like, different music now, because when we were younger, Sam helped me, like, understand that, like, it is okay to like the things that you like and not feel ashamed of it.
Nice.
And I think that is an important, like, lesson to take, is that you just like the things that you like and enjoy.
Yeah.
And you make the type of things that you like and enjoy, and other people will support that. And so this started off as, like, a recommendation for you to go listen to Jiraiya. Now it's a mandate. I need you to support this young black man making alternative music.
Sure.
It's fucking awesome. So you should go listen to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we start the fucking podcast?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Listen to me. God, it's not, we haven't even gotten 10 minutes in yet. Fuck. Friends, thank you for joining us today on Adam and Sam at the Disco. Come on and take a seat. Join us in harmony and discord as we sail the seas of leaked content. Our boat has sprung a leak.
Arr, we be pirates.
Arr, we be pirates, and the boat has sprung a leak. Don't forget to close the goddamn door, because we don't need more water coming in from other places. So you close it to trap some more water, make it a slower process. Arr, I be Sam.
I be Adam.
That traveled places. That went places, that one.
Yeah. We went the whole sea. All of them.
We sailed all seven of them. And the secret eighth one.
That's right.
Nobody talks about.
We found the one that leaked.
We found the one piece. Finally.
It was the friends we made all along the way, like you said.
It was the friends we made all along the way. But yeah, we're here. We're back. We don't have a lot of, like, extra stuff to talk about this week.
No.
So we can kind of just dive into it. It may be a shorter one. I don't fucking know.
I'll look just in fucking case.
Yeah, just in case. I don't think we have any new stuff. I think we're where we're at. I cannot imagine, but no, I don't think we do. So we don't have a lot to talk about. Last week we talked about Little Secret, which was one of the leaked tracks from Too Rare to Live, Too Rare to Die. We are recording this episode almost immediately following that episode.
Very much so.
All the stuff that you heard in the last episode is just us today. So whatever.
It's just us every time, but
it's just us every time, baby. But this time it's us today. And that's a different us from yesterday. And it's a different us from tomorrow.
God, hopefully the us tomorrow is a little different.
The fucking us from a week from now. You know, you never know what you're going to get. It's a flavor. It's a flavor. But yeah, so we can really just kind of start talking about this song, which is Stuck in the Middle.
Yeah, and nobody's getting their ear cut off to this song. Thank God there are no clowns to the left of me or jokers to the right. Michael Madsen is not playing Mr. Blonde right now.
Yeah. Whew. The song isn't even officially called Stuck in the Middle, so it's like, yeah, yeah. So it's just like, that's just what the fans have started calling it. So there's actually some information about this song that we can actually talk to, whereas Little Secret didn't have like anything except for what we can assume.
Sarah Urie left us a little penned comment. Yeah.
Sarah Urie in charge of the Brendan Urie italicized Brendan Urie account on YouTube. So this song is officially titled One This Time, which I said is dumb.
I realized why that fucks with me, because not only am I hearing George Washington from Hamilton singing One More Time.
One This Time.
Yeah, but this, okay, yeah. So then I'm also fucking hearing Blink-182 with fucking One More Time in my fucking head, and that's what's really killing me right now.
Gotcha.
It took me a while, and now I've got it.
Yeah.
So just hearing fucking... Rob DeLong fucking won this time.
What did you fucking call him? Rob DeLong? You just call him Rob? Did you call Tom DeLong Rob DeLong? That's his porn. That's the porn name.
That's his, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Rob DeLong.
This porn, fucking, my name's Rob DeLong. Rob. I got a large sausage for you.
Oh, come on. It's Rob DeLong with a big schlong.
Jesus Christ. So the reason why it's called One This Time is because in the song, and we'll talk about this as we go, in the song, there's lines, I don't want to be the only one this time. So as I mentioned last week, it bears repeating this week, why not just call it Only One?
Yeah.
Or Only One This Time, or The Only One, or whatever. Because the longer you make it, the clunkier it gets. And not that Panic at the Disco is averse to long song titles, as we are fully aware of.
Yes.
But extending One This Time out makes it sound clunky. So call it Only One.
Yeah.
And that makes more sense. But, again, we'll talk about it. At the end of the chorus, each of the choruses, there's a line, everywhere I go, stuck in the middle.
The chorus.
And that's where the chorus. And that's where the fan accepted title came from, Stuck in the Middle, which I think is a better title.
Yes.
So we are officially calling this song, and I don't know if I played it yet or not.
Who can say,
but I'll just hedge my bets. If I played it, great. If not, the song is called Stuck in the Middle. As of 2017, the song was registered on the ASCAP website as One This Time. It was written by Brendan Urie and Butch Walker for Panic at the Disco. Incomplete recordings of the song surfaced online as Stuck in the Middle on the opening night of Panic at the Disco's Death of a Bachelor tour.
Oh, so this is
February
old?
It's old, yeah. On February 24th, 2017 in Uncasville, Connecticut. The song was played in the House of Memories VIP lounge. In a Twitch live stream on May 31st, 2019, which I do have a clip of, I will put in the show notes, Urie responded to a comment asking about the song. Stuck in the Middle on YouTube. Oh, a B-side song that I did. Yeah. What's that actually called? Stuck in the Middle. Everybody's up, everybody's down, everywhere I go, stuck in the middle. Thought we called that something else, but it's out there, right? That's probably the best version you're going to hear. We didn't really mix that one.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
I smoke cigarettes.
Check it out. Yeah, we didn't really mix that one. So he says, that's probably the best version you're going to hear. We didn't really mix that one. Meanwhile, song studio version leaked on December 9th, 2023. A snippet of the song studio version leaked on December 9th, 2023. The full studio version of the song leaked entirely on December 10th, 2023 through the Earworms After Dark channel.
That's, that sounds very dark that, webbish.
It does. Though it actually might be, I did not read that part when I was like vetting this, so it actually might be a channel to look into because maybe we'll get more.
Now you've also landed on an FBI watch list.
Hooray! Ooh, there's an alternate version of Ballad of Mona Lisa.
Do you think that Uncasville, Connecticut would have been Unclesville if it was named by an adult, not a child? Ooh. Very good. I take that as a yes.
What did you just say to me? Oh, so the Earworms After, the only video on the Earworms After Dark channel is Stuck in the Middle, so never mind.
Oh, good. They're not good. Brendan Urie italicized.
No. Also,
is this there's one? It's used,
we have some genius stuff on here.
Good.
It's used as a sample in the song Gold Skull by Miniature Tigers. Again, like always, if I can find that, you'll hear a clip of it. If not, oh well. And then it is tagged as pop. That's it.
Fantastic. Did you say Gold Skull by Miniature Tigers?
I sure fucking did, Adam.
That's fucking interesting. I hope you can find it. That's fucking interesting.
I hope you can't find it.
But as we've learned in the past, we've been burnt by these in the before.
We have. I hope that stays a little secret. Oh,
found it. God damn. All right. It begs the question now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about this song? Got unnaturally close to the microphone for that one.
Oh, unnaturally close to the song. I did find Gold Skull, by the
way. Hell
yeah.
Just play it now. We'll pause the episode.
It sounds interesting. I listened to like a few seconds of it.
Excellent.
Speaking of interesting, this song is interesting.
That's pretty fucking interesting. It's pretty fucking on.
Okay. We're going to talk about it here in a second. I don't know. Again, it is very similar to how he spoke about Little Secret, where it feels like a song that we missed in between Vices and Too Weird.
For sure.
That bridged that gap. Because again, it's using the synths and like the keyboard effects and like all that stuff to kind of like tie everything together. There's like the echo on his voice and stuff like that.
Yep.
Like it sounds like another bridge song. And you brought this up last week where you talked about how like these things, like you think these songs could have and maybe should have dropped as singles. I don't even necessarily think that they needed to be album singles. I think if you just released these as like individual single songs, it would have been enough to prepare people for Too Weird.
For sure. If you like new perspective this and it just lives nowhere.
Yeah, it lives nowhere. And they're like these singles that like just kind of exist in the universe. but they give you an idea of like, okay, this is different, but like, is this what's happening? Because New Perspective was kind of like that, right? After Pretty Odd, New Perspective came out, and that was kind of like, that kind of gave you an idea of like where they were headed as far as like what Vices was going to be. These could have been that for Too Weird, I think.
Yeah, I think like New Perspective itself has shades of Vices, but still feels nothing like it. And I think
wholly and
completely, these could have followed that same path.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, they're so good. Both of them together are so good. And I think this one, I maybe favor this one more because like it's, I think he does a lot more with his voice in this one. And I even kind of like nailed one earlier, just kind of listening to it. Like there's a part where he's kind of going in his normal voice and he kind of like goes up and then he goes right down and he goes lower, almost lower
You're talking about, because in the first, the waves are climbing high.
Yes.
Like that, where he goes like up like that. Oh, I love that. It's so good. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah. Cause it's coming off the high and then this time and then this time, like the way that he closes out, we haven't gotten fully into the lyrics, but like the way that he closes out this first verse, he reaches into a depth that he's not wholly leapt in so far. Like it's more of a, like a deeper Brendan Urie than like vocally than we have seen so far. And that we start seeing, and he starts exploring more as we get into Death of a Bachelor. Like,
Brendan, because
he's never explored that low pitch that he can do.
Yeah, he does it a little bit, but he definitely doesn't explore it as much as he probably should or could. But yeah, no, I really like what he does. Like, because here's how I would describe it. His voice in this song sounds dancey.
Yeah,
and not like dance music, but like his voice sounds like it is dancing.
Yes. He's, if that makes sense. Exploring a lot.
Yeah, it's very whimsical. Like, it's a whimsical way to describe it.
It's not. Going. It's fucking humsical, please.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah.
It is a humsical way to describe it.
But it is
the best way I know how to describe it. Like, it is very, like, fan. It's like, it's nice. It's exploratory. It's good.
Like, sounds good. It's kind of that same amount of floatiness that we've seen before, but it's in every line that he's trying something. And I think that's what makes this song fucking feel kind of special. Like, this is, if I had to put it succinctly, like, this is what I would have wanted from this whole album.
Yeah, like, I would have loved more stuff like this.
If you want to use the vocoder, that's cool, but these two leak tracks have used it in moderation to still allow like his natural tone to come through. And of course I mentioned last time, like the monotoneness is an artistic choice, but I think these two are so fucking good just because it's that exploration of his voice that he, and I'll say it to his detriment, maybe explores a little too much with that range in Death of a Bachelor. we're not quite to shrieky shoutiness yet, and there's like a level of shoutiness in this, but it's controlled. It's not like him fucking sitting behind his mom saying, look what I can do. So,
well, because like with the shoutiness in the song is like mostly contained in the chorus, but like it is shouty in a way that is not like him like getting really loud, but like it's shouty in like a way that's like I'm in an arena and all of my friends are also shouting with me.
Right.
That's the vibe that it feels like.
Yeah. It's that stadium rock level of yell.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Well, let's not fucking pussyfoot around anymore.
Yeah, let's not fucking zoodoo anymore.
Let's not zoodoo. That is, by the way, that is coming back to you told me about this. It's coming back to theaters in February. Did you tell me about that?
Yeah. It's coming back the
Advent
week.
Children?
Yeah. The week before Rebirth launches. Yeah. Which okay, I would.
I need people to forgive me because I need to say something.
Yeah.
I have a weird theory about Rebirth that, and it's probably not true. I have a weird theory about Rebirth is that it is the rest of Seven, and then the third one is going to be playable Advent Children.
I would fucking find a reason to Ohio and give you a hug if that's the case.
Yeah, that's the reason why they're re-releasing Advent Children, because they want you to get used to it, because they're going to introduce a bunch of like stuff about Advent Children in
that would be ludicrous.
And it's weird, it's crazy, it's ridiculous, but like that's what I think. Anyway,
I don't think it is, because they've already said that they're going to find ways to link it to Advent Children. Like Rebirth will already. I would, if I had not just bought the complete edition on 4K, I would probably go shell out the money to go fucking see this. But I did.
Just because it's a fucking movie. It's not going to cost. It's like $12. Go see it. Fucker.
I fucking paid. It has never. Listen,
Advent
Children is
Advent Final. Who gives a fuck? Advent Children.
SquareSoft does not Advent need Children. Money. Square Enix.
Listen, fucking listen to me. Final Fantasy VII Advent Children has never been in theaters and likely never will again. Go fucking see the movie, because I'm going to go see it and I'm going to tell you how cool it was, and you're going to fucking hate yourself for not going to see it. So go fucking see the movie, you dumb piece of shit. Well, anyway.
You tell me when you buy your ticket for it, and I'll make sure to pop my 4K Blu-ray.
I bought it a week and a half ago. Like, go fucking fuck yourself. Go buy it.
I don't think that you told me that you got it.
No, I didn't tell you that I got it. No, I didn't. You just did. I didn't think I needed to report to you that I bought tickets.
Absolutely. Tell me every movie you see on time.
Anyway, just do it, because you know you want to, and you know it's a good idea, and you know you're gonna have a good time. Just go see it.
It would make my
take Elliot with you.
If he didn't live in Kansas City 3 hours away, I would. If it would make my 16-year-old heart first time seeing this movie in 480p on LimeWire with probably not accurate subtitles, sitting next to Elliot actually the first time, that would probably be much better.
Do it,
but alas.
Coward, you won't, bitch, bitch, little bitch, you won't, little bitch, little bitch ass bitch, little pussy. Anyway, here's verse one. Great segue. So here's, I don't know if it's xylophones or whatever, the fucking, like, the Discord, like, dude, that tickles my brain in a way that I can't explain.
Well,
it is the, like, it just feels like little light dainty fingers tapping on my skull, and it makes me feel so happy. It makes me feel relaxed. I love hearing it. I love that little I love it.
Like, I'm going to trail back even mere seconds before that, where there's like that weird almost a weird Nintendo game sound effect of a snare. Like, it's so strange.
Yes. Yes, that I've been trying to place it. That is exactly what it is. Oh, it
sounds so
like
good.
That, like, 8-bit, like,
yes.
Yes. Okay. Fuck yeah. Okay.
Oh man.
I love that. And then, like, it's just like you get into like the instruments and stuff. Like, you it's just like that drum, that like 8-bit snare with like. I'm just like, dude. And then again, they're kind of like 8-bit, like, before he gets into the verse, too. It's just like, I just feel like I'm listening to just like the nicest Nintendo soundtrack ever.
Yes.
And then he starts singing real pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's very soft.
Real pretty. Like, very soft.
This is fucking fabric softener, all of it soft. Oh, ah.
Yeah. It is so nice. But it's just like, because, and again, like the soft and the nice, but then like, if you think, if you like, look at like, listen to what he's saying, yeah. It's like, oh, interesting. Because like, this is just like, I know we like made fun of people who are just like, this is probably about drugs a lot when we were doing those songs.
Sure.
I feel like this is probably about drugs.
Dude, I don't think we have to even think about it. Like this seems but very,
it's about drugs and longing.
Yeah. Yes. Same feeling sometimes.
Same feeling. Like he, like I don't want to be the only one on this high. I'm bummed out. Everything's blending together. When he says the waves are climbing high, like they're surrounding me, they're going to crash down on me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be here alone. I want to be with, whether it's, I don't know if you think about like, if it's like a romantic thing or if it's just like a loneliness thing.
Right.
I think you can, because I don't think there's anything like, if I'm looking at the lyrics here, I don't know if there's anything like overtly romantic about the lyrics here. So it could just be like he's just by himself and he wants to be with people. But
yeah,
it really, like the softness really highlights the sense of like aloneness that he's feeling.
Well, yeah, I guess if we wanted to tie this to love or a relationship, like you'd almost have to assume that this is a one-sided relationship and he's now done.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like he's the only one that feels the infatuation and love in this relationship, and he wants off the ride. And while the colors mix and swell, like climbing high, but he's, you know, he's the only one. He doesn't want to be.
Yep.
So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It works either way, which yes. I think is really cool, because again, you can tie it into generally the themes of Too Weird. Because if you think about it, like as like a longing for a person.
Yeah,
but it works in a lot of, it works on a couple of different levels, and I love to, and this is maybe why it was called One This Time, but be the only one this time, yeah. Time the echo behind it,
right?
Oh my god,
so fucking good. Like, I know we said it last time, but this would definitely live in my top five or three.
Again, this is up there. Both of these two songs, I think, yeah. I think because I'm with you in agreement. I think because of how he plays with his voice and his, how he explores and
yes.
Like, the way that the music makes me feel, like the music, like again, little secret made me feel comfortable too. Like I feel like I'm home, like listening to this music and listening to this Panic song.
Yeah.
This one is like double that.
Oh yeah.
And so I think I appreciate this song. I really, really love this song a lot. And I think like this one would, whereas Little Secret would be like top six for sure. Like, I don't know if this doesn't edge to like number three. Like,
yeah.
I could see it fitting at number three if it was like an official release. Like, right. I could see that
like this
being a thing.
To like throw it back to that comfortable sitting, like statement. I think like this song feels like your favorite artist doing that goddamn thing. Sorry, Annie. That that you love so much, because that is truly what this song is for me. Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of like coming into, and I've stated it before, like my love for Kaleidoscope Eyes, like discovering that song. I feel that way about this song almost, because it's just musically, and let me recant that real quick, vocally fucking great.
Yeah,
like, it's just truly so good.
It does so much. I'm actually legitimately curious. Annie, I need to know, again, links are going to be in the show notes for this, so you can listen to it. I legitimately want to know like what you specifically think about this song, because I remember we talked about this last week when we talked about like the rankings, like your ranking, where you talked about how Colorful is your number one song. Colorful is bouncy and there's so much going on.
Yeah.
And you think that the rest of the songs don't have a lot of variety, and it's a breath of fresh air, and it starts simple and things kick. Like the way that you explained Colorful feels to me like stuck in the middle. does.
This feels like the answer to that. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like it's just like, you liked Colorful? Well, try fucking this. And then here it is. Because I feel like this is like, it is on a similar pantheon to Colorful. To the point where, like, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, again, we talked about this. I love This Is Gospel. This Is Gospel is a very meaningful song to me.
Yep.
And it will never not be my personal number one. I could see this being as high as number two on my list. Like I said, three, I think this, if I was forced to slot this in, this might be number two. This could be number two.
Yeah. This,
which would be, yeah, it's just, yeah.
I feel, you know, same as last time. Like, I truly feel with this song, like we fucking were ripped off. We missed something special.
Yeah. Agreed. This is such a great song. But yeah, no, cause again too, and you think, and you, like all the stuff, like just specifically with this verse, like the waves are climbing high, like where he does that. And then he like goes into like the second, I don't want to be the only one this time.
Like, yes.
Like he just does so much.
Yeah, it's that fucking dip, man, that like gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
he is so good. He is so. It's so frustrating how good he is. Like doing the dip, where he like dips his voice and like changes like, and like he's so good at like key changes and fucking all kinds of shit like that. It's just like, oh my god.
Well, and I think what really makes this work is the juxtaposition between that high that you mentioned and then the dip of time. Like he could fucking do this and damn it, he just didn't keep doing it.
yeah
I almost will. I'm gonna try to not do it, but I could almost build a resentment for now knowing this song exists.
The fact that he like is, I the theory that you had last week about how like maybe it's like it was him that leaked them.
Yeah.
The fact that in the Twitch stream, he talks about how I was like, oh yeah, that's probably the best you're going to hear is that little clip. We didn't really mix it. And here it is.
Right.
Mixed and good and out and released.
Yeah.
Some that don't pass the smell test to me. I think Brendan's out here doing some fishy shit on the internet. Being like, here you go. Check it out.
Remember that song I talked about one time on Twitch?
Here it is. I wonder who did it. Not me. So I don't know. I'm just saying it's a little suspicious. Maybe he's more based than we give him credit for. Who can say?
Yeah. No. Say? I don't think it's I don't know if we can get that sus with it. But maybe. You never know.
It's a little too sus. A little too sus.
That's right.
But yeah, so that first verse, yeah, again about this like longing, being in the middle of a high and just like being so lonely that like everything's blended together and it feels like it's too much.
Yep.
You don't want to be the only one feeling it. You want to be able to feel it with somebody else. So that's kind of the gist of the first verse. Okay. That's the gist of the first verse. Now we go into the chorus, which is. Mwah, God, pick me up.
Yeah.
It's just so bouncy and like the music in the background. It just makes me happy. Like it just makes me happy. Like again, like the song is like not like a happy song. It's like the song where it's like it sounds really happy, but it's not really happy. It's kind of lonely.
A little bit.
But it's just like I cannot help doom 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 doom.
I think one thing that makes this chorus interesting also is how concise it is.
Yeah, it's concise, but it works.
Yes, like you almost feel like he's going to repeat these six lines again.
Yeah,
it'd feel great if he did. Like,
okay. Because he does later.
Yes.
Like the next two times you hear the chorus, it's repeated. It's said twice. But this time you get the first verse, you get the chorus. Stuck in the middle, compounding. Yeah. And it's like, wait, what happened? Okay.
Yeah.
This is fine. Like, it's very weird. It jolts you. It's very strange.
And it's like, what the fuck? Okay.
There's something. I heard that too. What was that?
That's Aurora running past my window here because they're fucking weirdos. Oh, yeah. That was very alarming. Like, as much as I love the woes and ohs, I love what I'm going to call now the Brendan Urie. Oh!
Like, it's in the same family. You got the woes, you got the ohs, you got the oh! Like, it's in the same family.
I fucking love it.
Oh, God, pick me up. I'm not so good with problems. And then you've got, like, the crowd singing the everybody's up, everybody. Oh.
Oh. Oh. And, you know, like, as much as we could say that, you know, Stuck in the Middle was not, sorry, not Stuck in the Middle. This is what we're talking about now. You know, can't fight. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Can't fight against youth. Like, youth was baby's first rebellion. Like, this does not feel to me like baby's first social anxiety or something like that. You know, like this.
Yeah.
This just gets it. This gets the point. This gets how you feel. Like, especially if you're coming off of a high, for instance, and you're like fucking shopping in Walmart and you're like, I can feel everybody looking at me or something like that. Like, this kind of just fucking gets that fact that you aren't everybody else and you're not everybody else's problems. And while you're not good with yours, you kind of know where you're stuck. Like, you know where you're living. So it's just interesting.
Yeah. It is really interesting. Yeah. It's just like this idea that like everybody is something, but I'm just kind of like,
just here. Like,
I'm just here.
Like not to speak Generation Z or Alpha, like this is the NPC song. Like you kind of realize that you're just a dude being a dude.
Yeah. Well, it's existential in a way.
Yes.
Like, if you really dig deep into it, it's just like, wow. Huh.
Like, I think we all have that moment growing up where you're like, I'm just a person with problems and so is everybody else around me. Like, no matter how much you might look at the rich girl next to you, she's probably got some problems at home. You know, i.e.
She's sweeping everything under her glitter rug. Her parents hate her. Friends hate her. She's drunk.
Pretty fucking much. So interesting. Yeah. It's going to be hard to like hide that if we had to rank this song. Of course, we talked about this song is so fucking good.
I'm not trying to hide anything.
Of course not.
Trying to fucking rank it. Like, if we were to insert into our official ranking, it would be number two, I think.
Yeah.
It would be my number two. Because it's so good.
It's so good.
It's so incredible. It's a great song. It's like, does it, like, sit on my all-timer list? It's good.
Yeah. It feels weird to, like, have just been introduced to this and have such high feelings.
But it's like some of the most iconic songs that you've listened to that sit with you are songs like that.
Yes.
Like, wow, I've heard the song one time and I am in love.
Yeah.
Like this, like if it was on a, like if it was on a streaming service, this song would be like in my Wrapped. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
I listen to in the year. Like it would be on rotation. Like, that's just where it sits. Like, that's just the truth. I love this song.
Like, if I could have a rom-com with this movie, this would be Love at First Listen.
For sure. Should we talk about verse two?
Fuck yeah. I think like what is also interesting about this song to me is he follows like the same intonations of his voice, but it still works every fucking time. Like the compounding lights and sounds that seep into the gray. And all I know is I don't want to be the only one this time. Like that is kind of like, it. Like Yeah. All right. Take it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to expound on the lyrics themselves. Like, this does throw back to that love story, of course, from that first, that first verse where it's just, he does realize that he's the only one in this love story. And as much as it's lights and sounds and colors, it just seeps away into nothing via, via gray, because he's the only one that feels it.
Yeah, because again, it's like you said, it ties back into the first verse where the colors are mixing and swelling and they're building up, and he has this feeling about how it's so great, but then it's just like, oh, they're compounding and they're just disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is him realizing, almost. And then he in this line, he says, all I know is I don't want to be the only one this time.
Yes.
He says, I don't want to be the only one this time three times, and he sings it differently all three times. And it's like, he puts a different intonation on a different thing each time. And it is really good. Where it's just like, if we want to talk about repetition, fine. But like, if you're going to do repetition, at least do it like this, where it's just you've given me a different thing to sonically contemplate each time you say the thing that you're repeating. Like, I feel it. It's good.
Yes. Like, if you're going to, you would usually think that repetition comes with a sense of feeling and emotion to it, right? Like,
you know,
and this nails it. Like, for the longest time, I used to just, and my kids are the perfect example of this, like, they would repeat each other, repeat themselves over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it just used to, like, just kind of grate against a part of me, because, of course, they're just, they were young and it was, it felt like a Family Guy episode. Sometimes raising kids feels like a Seth MacFarlane, life experience. But then I realized, just sooner or later, you get over it and you realize that the repetition comes with mockery, emotion, purpose, drive. The Coen brothers as filmmakers use a lot of repetition in their filmmaking. And I think it comes with like a level of intention. And I think this song, more than just being a pop song in nature, like, look at Britney Spears and Will I Am Scream and Shout, where it's just the same thing over and over ad nauseum, and you don't get anything from it. Like, you don't get the sense to scream and shout from the song Scream and Shout, aside from how fucking annoying it is. Sorry, Britney fans. But it is this intention that you mentioned, like, it's with purpose that I think differentiates it from other panic songs that we have talked about in the past. And I don't think many of them have nailed it with this amount of intention. Because you can repeat the same line and line over again in the same tone with no changes. And that's just a chorus or a bridge or a song. But when you actually do it with a little difference, like, that's what makes you something special. Like, I about said different. That would have just, but like, that's what sets you apart. Like, that's what helps set this song apart, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I went down a whole diatribe there that just went places and up and downs, but I feel like
everybody's up, everybody's down.
Like, as a person who used to thoroughly hate repetition just in general, I feel like I've moved past that, and it's just easier to find ways to enjoy, if possible, with I hit puberty there, with parentheses about it, like, to find something enjoyable about that. Somebody can say the same word over and over and over again, and of course it's going to be annoying, but if they maybe say it with a little bit difference. And if you hear somebody say the word apple 50 different times and they do it 50 different ways, it won't be maybe as grating or as annoying if they say it the same way 50 times over and over again with the same intonation.
Because you like run the risk of it losing its meaning, right? Whereas like, if you're being creative with it and you're doing it differently,
Yeah,
maybe it doesn't lose its meaning.
You know, it's like writing lines on boards in schools, you know, as a punishment when you have to write, I will not do this eventually, 50 times, like sooner or later.
Eventually it just like stops being effective as a punishment.
Right. Know? Punishment says that 50 lines will make you feel this. Well, by line 49, I really didn't give a shit anymore.
By line 49, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
And so I've lost the plot of the lesson by that point. So it's just like, it just works the same way. Yeah.
Thank you for going on that journey for me.
Yeah, of course. So verse two happens. Then the chorus happens. And again, this is the expectation where he sings it twice. And you're just like, oh, okay. This makes sense. Then it goes into the bridge. So should we listen to the bridge real quick?
Take him to the bridge.
Take him to the bridge. Need to pick me up to show me where I stand. Know which way is up. And I'm not so good with driving. It's a million miles to the nearest cell. It's inside my head, at least for now. This is so, I just love the whispering. Yes. And then like the very quiet strumming in the background, and then like the twinkles, like the twinkles in the background are like, they don't fit, they don't match, they're not in any kind of like order, but it like works because he's also kind of not singing in any kind of like measured way, like the lines are kind of whopper jawed, like they don't flow, but it works.
Yeah, I like this really just drops the sing-songiness from the entire song.
Yeah, it's just like, whoa.
What it's very interesting. It's
like, because like this is like, because this is the bridge is like the watershed moment. And I think that's like the how he's singing it matches. Because as it moves on, like you get like drums and you get some more guitar, but it's just like this like discord and like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. All over the place with like the gentle strumming, and then it kind of builds a little bit, and then so let's talk about the words because we'll talk about what happens next.
Yeah,
but
like it's hard.
He's to, like the, I,
it's almost hard to not throw this back to the drug, you know, the drug comparison that we had, because when you have the words of need to pick me up, like what you cannot assume that he's talking that he needs a fucking Red Bull or a coffee. Right.
No.
Coming off the first chorus. So.
Yeah. So because again, he's saying like, I need to pick me up to show me where I stand to know which way is up. And I'm not so good with driving, which is an indicator.
Yeah. It's a very inebriated.
Shouldn't be driving.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, it's a million miles to the nearest cell. It's inside my head. And please for now, forget about me.
Yes.
Where again, this is my interpretation. He's taking the drugs. Figure out where he is, and the driving is in his head.
Yes.
He's trapping himself inside of his head because he's overthinking it, and he's just letting it go. He's like, forget about me. I'm trapped. I've trapped myself.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, in Dear Winter by AJR, like he's, you know, describing finding this love, but he has to find somebody who does not mind that he's inside his head a lot. And this is exactly what this is. You know, it's a million miles to the nearest cell inside my head. Like no matter how much or how much I could think I'm in control of my thoughts, like it's still so far to maybe get to that happy thought or the thought that I need at this moment.
Yeah.
Because of course we're going with the, you know, everybody's up, everybody's down, everywhere I go, I'm stuck in the middle. Like this, this is the embodiment of that. It kind of feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really like a very, because we've talked about how like the song is like really bouncy and it's like that song that is like, it sounds happy, but it's not really happy.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the betrayal of what the song is moment where it's just like, this is not happy, nor does it sound happy.
No.
Like there's like the twinkling in the background, but like the mood is immediately different.
Yeah.
But
the vibes are off.
The vibes are off. But here's the thing, the way that the bridge ends, it cuts off. It's just silent.
Yeah.
For a few seconds, and then it goes, oh, back into the chorus after a few seconds. And it reads like you say something that is completely out of pocket and everybody's like looking at you like you're crazy. And then you're just like, anyway, like one of those, like that silence into the chorus reads like that. And I will, and I've included, like, I haven't done the whole chorus, but I've included the transition into the chorus just so you can hear that, because that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like I'm having a conversation. It sounds like you see, you saw Barbie where it's just like, everything about dying and then everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, oh, we're dancing. And then like everybody starts dancing again. That's what that felt like.
Yeah.
That felt like that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is kind of when, and I think to maybe draw the through line, like this is that night out with your friends where everybody's a little fucked up. Maybe you're a little more fucked up than everybody else, or maybe you're not as fucked up, but you're still having those same like level of thoughts. And you're like, well,
yeah,
what if everybody just didn't know I existed? Everybody's like
drinking and talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that meme where you're like, everybody's dancing, you're in the corner. It's like, they don't know that I'm a master of chess.
Disguise.
Or whatever the fuck the meme says. Yeah, whatever. And it's in the corner. It's like that. It's that guy.
Yeah.
You're that guy. Yeah.
I think I fuck goddamn this song is special.
It's so good. So the bridge goes into the chorus, and then the chorus repeats twice, and then it goes into the outro, which is just the chorus.
Yeah.
But it's like the crowd singing the crowd style vocals singing the song, but it's just like the drums.
Yeah.
And then like this like person singing like high, it's probably him, but singing high pitched in the background, like do it. It's like,
right.
Whoa, what's happening? So I'll play that really quick so we can hear it.
And I know I mocked it last time for like the 5-4-3-2-1-ness of Vegas Lights and like tapping into that victorious thing. And this kind of does a little bit of that, but it has that same level of deliberateness that we talked about. Like it's not a sample from an episode of Sesame Street or anything like that. Like it's processed and it's chosen and it's meant to be here, which I think adds more to that emotion. Like it of course adds to the emotion of the chorus itself, where like you're stuck in the middle and then you have this cacophony of voices like echoing around you that just kind of, I don't know if it sells it more that it is more voices or if it just kind of, it just vibes with it, you know. It's maybe it's just a vibe. I don't want to analyze the goodness of that part, but it's a vibe.
Yeah, it is a vibe. It's just like, whoa. Because again, you know what? Because this kind of goes back to like what we're just talking about, where it's just like the whole song is just like bombastic. Like it's musical. It's like where everything's like bouncy and crazy, right? And then you have the bridge, which is like that subdued, like this is what it actually is. And we talked about like, you know, you're out with your friends and you've gotten to a point in your evening where like you are messed up and everybody's having fun still, but you're just like in thought.
Yeah.
The outro feels like that's the room you're in. Like your friends are out there. It's like echoey and your friends are singing and somebody's like going crazy in the background. You're just like in the corner hearing it. And that's what that feels like to me.
Yeah.
Which I think is very interesting. It's very cool.
Very, very sinuous sacrifice with all the voices in the head. I mean, I think it's a fucking cool effect. And I think the fact that this whole song is somewhat laid over with that vocoder kind of makes that crowd impression sound even more impressive. Like impressive isn't wholly the word that I'm looking for, but like it makes it a little bit cooler. Like you feel it a bit more.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
What a good fucking song, man.
What a good fucking song.
God,
very much.
Dang it. Brendan.
Very, very into this song. God damn it,
Boyd. Should have just Boyd put this on the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good. Love this song. Glad we had a chance to listen to it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Next week, though, we are going to do Lullaby, which is another unreleased track that came out from the Pretty Odd era.
Rockabye.
Yeah, this one, the earliest I can see this coming out is from like June 30th, 2023. So this is also part of like the leaks, the unreleased leaks. It's a shorter song. Looks like it's 2 minutes and 7 seconds according to this video. So it's we'll talk about that. Even if we do discover more Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die songs, we are going to do Lullaby next week and we can come back to those. I don't think we will, but just in case, this is just me declaring. We said we were going to listen to this. Dennis suggested it. So we're going to listen to it. And then if there are more Too Weird unreleased songs, we will then do them after Lullaby. But next week will be Lullaby from Pretty Odd.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. I actually haven't listened to it yet, so I'm very interested to hear what it sounds like.
Yep.
So that's going to be good. So
back to being focused on the schedule that we said that we would do.
Mm-hmm. And then once Lullaby is done, assuming that no songs have shown their face to us, we will move into like the featuring Brendan Urie tracks that came out in between Too Weird and Death of a Bachelor.
You gotta keep on keeping up, even in the future. Keep fuck.
Okay.
That's interesting.
A sneak peek.
Yeah, great one. A very good one.
Great one. But yeah, until such time as we do that, thank you guys for joining us for every episode that you join us for. We appreciate it. Thank you all so much. And what do we tell the people, Adam?
We tell them we love them. We say goodbye.
Love you. Goodbye. Boyd.